It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A sputtering economy has Wall Street and central bankers all aflutter.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Stocks today are nosediving again. Let's do the numbers. The Dow is down more than 300 points right now, 348 points to be exact, nearly 3% at 11,546. The NASDAQ off 3.5%, and the S&P 500 nearly down 3.5% as well. The Labor Department said today first-time jobless claims fell last week to 400,000. Shares of Japanese companies Hitachi and Mitsubishi were up after reports that two companies could merge. We'll keep an eye on the Dow throughout the program. Responding to all the worries hampering the economy at the moment today, the European Central Bank and the Bank of England decided to keep interest rates steady in an effort to put some spring into global markets. Japan's central bank today didn't tweak their interest rates, but they did interfere with the currency, the yen, slowing its rise in value against the U.S. dollar, making exports more competitive overseas. Central banks, including the Federal Reserve right here in the U.S., have the tools they can use to step in and help economies grow. And reporter Christopher Worth is with us now from London with the latest on that. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
So central banks stepping in, what can they do to help the economy?
Well, you know, central banks set monetary policy, right? You know, they raise or lower interest rates. They're tasked with keeping inflation low. And in some cases, they try to keep the economy moving along. And that's what the Bank of England and the European Central Bank are dealing with. There's even talk they might start buying up bonds again. And that's the central bank saying, right, we're not seeing the economic growth we need. So we'll try to give the economy a kickstart by keeping borrowing costs low. And we've sort of seen a wave of central bank activism over the last few days. Switzerland and Japan have seen their currencies rise as a result of these economic worries. So Switzerland's central bank has slashed interest rates. And Japan's central bank, it's also trying to devalue its currency right now.
Can it work, Chris?
Well, there's a danger to all this, Steve. Here's Karsten Brzeski. He's an economist at ING in Brussels.
If you really kind of turn the faucet, the taps open, the big risk is inflation. And the second risk is actually that it doesn't help.
He says you have to think of these central banks like fire brigades here. You know, they can put out fires, but they can't do important things like reform labor markets or balance deficits.
Any hopes that the Federal Reserve, our central bank here in the U.S., will roll out the fire trucks, Chris?
Well, interest rates are already at rock bottom. Brzeski says there's a big push among investors for Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke to begin a third round of the Fed pumping money into banks to buy up bonds. But again, he says it will have a limited effect.
Reporter Christopher Worth in London. Chris, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Kraft Foods today said it's going to carve itself into two publicly traded companies, one that'll focus on snacks, the other on its big grocery business. In other words, Oreos and Jell-O together? Not so much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
General Motors today reported its profit nearly doubled in the second quarter thanks to higher prices on its cars and trucks. Some analysts believe GM may have made a turn from its unprofitable days of the past. Dennis DeRosier is an auto industry analyst. He's with us this morning from Toronto. Hi, Dennis.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much.
You got it. It sounds like GM's profits were pretty strong. It was able to charge higher prices. Why is that?
They've got themselves leaned out a little bit, and they're producing vehicles that consumers like. And when you do that, you can charge a little bit more. 5 quarters in a row of profits for GM, and they're coming together. I still think there's a lot of work here to do from a market perspective and within the company. They're far from being entirely out of the woods, but 5 quarters of profits is nothing to sneeze at.
How did the gas price increase affect, you think, the sales? I mean, obviously they did well despite it, right?
Well, they did, and what the gas prices and the size of the vehicle is directly proportional, and you can go in and month out, and if gas prices start to go up, people buy smaller vehicles. If gas prices come down, they buy larger vehicles.
You think the Japan quake had any impact or will have any
impact? Oh, absolutely. Japan probably cost the North American Japanese manufacturers 500,000 units of sales easily. Now, some of those consumers are just going to hang in there and wait for their Japanese product. But I'll bet you half of them perhaps, you know, left the Japanese brand and headed over to other companies. And Ford was the biggest beneficiary of that, I believe. But sure, GM would have benefited as well, and Chrysler.
Dennis DeRosier is an automotive industry consultant. Dennis, thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
There's a discussion going on today in Las Vegas over how easy it would be to hack high-frequency trading operations on Wall Street. The forum's part of an annual hackers convention called Black Hat. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
High-frequency traders buy stocks low on one market and sell them for a fraction of a penny more on another.
The speed that we're talking about is insanely fast. You know, you think about fast things in your world, and you start thinking about things like blinking your eyes.
James Arlen at Push the Stat Consulting says these trades are 10 times faster than that. Computers make all the transactions. Microseconds are the difference between making a profit and getting hosed. So in the last few years, traders have put their servers in the same secret building with the New York Stock Exchange computers, and they've invested big time in building the fastest computers possible. What that means is they've stripped their trading software and hardware down to the bare bones. If these computers were cars, there would be no seatbelts, no roll bars, minimal security. Hacking made easy.
Easy peasy.
And Arlen's convinced someone, somewhere, who has access to these networks is going to try. In Las Vegas, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, a Swedish man's been arrested for trying to split atoms in his kitchen. For a hobby, Richard Handel was trying to create a nuclear reactor at his apartment. The 31-year-old kept a blog of the experiment that included elements of radium and uranium, and he wondered if his nuclear curiosity violated any laws, so he sent a letter to Sweden's radiation authority. They responded by sending in the police. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Stocks are still down about 3% at the moment. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The internship, not just for college students anymore, you know, but who has time not to get paid?
You can spend 20 hours a week in an internship and then spend the other 20 hours a week looking for a job.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, non-traditional interns and the traditional numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.